Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
Meet me in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19 is where I'm going to pull our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse number 19 in the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And so our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Oh, this is good. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Amen. God's word for God's people as we go to our seats around the building. We come back in this passage to that 23rd verse, which says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Our title in this worship, Refusing to Lose My Grip.
All right.
Refusing to lose my grip. One of the exercises which can be done is being able to tighten one's grip. It helps persons as they engage in tennis and golf. Marquette, that one was for you. That with the tightening of grip. But many of us, as we think about the tightening of grip, we can also reflect upon the summer activities of going to the amusement park and riding scary rides. No one has to tell you, you better hold on tight. Nobody has to remind you. Because you realize that you do not want there to be an accident nor an incident. Yesterday, right in our backyard, Six Flags, the rescue workers had to rush to the water area to rescue a child who had gone under the water. They were able to get him, rescue him, and utilize their training, able to make sure that he would be able to remain with life. He had slipped away from his guardians. Matter of fact, if you're ever with children, you got to keep a close eye on them. They can slip away.
I shall never forget, Lily Bell was very young at the time, and we were playing a game. At least she thought it was a game. And we were in the mall, and she had gotten a distance from me. And as she had gotten a distance from me, she then would go in and out of stores, peeking in and out, but wouldn't peek back. Dash away for a second, then come back, peek, then disappear. Then one store, she peeked in, and I didn't see her. And I was now running Dr. Fontenot up because I'm trying to find her. And now she has turned this into hide-and-go-seek. We're not playing that now. Again, you see that when you go to any park, whether it's Disney, whether it's Williamsburg, whether it's Richmond, Dominion, King's Dominion, Busch Gardens, no matter where it is, you don't want to lose your grip. I end up coming to this message because I look at it from a spiritual standpoint, because some of you are a long way from getting on a roller coaster. That's nothing but a memory. You are now the person, if you were in that situation, I'll hold the bags. I'll meet you over there. Where do they come out? Over there. That's where I'll be. Refusing to lose your grip. I started talking about it last night, and I come back this morning because from a spiritual perspective, Satan wants you to lose your grip. He wants you to become lax. Last night, the Baltimore Ravens were playing an exhibition football game against the New Orleans Saints. In that game, of course, the Ravens end up coming victorious, and they are now on a winning streak in terms of preseason games. I believe they've now have won 18 straight preseason games. They talked to the coach after the game, Coach Harbaugh, and they said, "Why do you take preseason so seriously?" He said, "Because we want to practice winning. Even the backups are taught in terms of Raven Nation. Even the backups are taught to win. No one steps on this field with a losing mentality." And so Harbaugh says, "We practice winning in the preseason, then we can get off to a strong start in the regular season." And looking at the record of the Ravens, that has been the case. Now, we're not talking about the playoffs or the Super Bowl yet, but just laying the backdrop. Refuse to lose your grip. Get a grip. You've heard that said. As persons are scattered, and they're doing like one of our media persons who I will not call by name, but he'll throw his hands in the air. Don't lose your grip. And the media folk just started laughing because they knew who I'm talking about without me calling and saying, "Don't lose your grip." You got to refuse to lose your grip. And that sets the backdrop for the message we shared this morning, which breaks into three areas. Jesus, number one, can open up something new in your life. That's what Jesus can do. Something new, something fresh. I love that word, fresh. Fresh food. Fresh food. Fresh market. Fresh. He can open something new in your life. Something exciting, energized, inspired. I refuse to lose my grip. Secondly, the goal of the believer is to have sincere hearts that fully trust in God. Not partially. I talked last night and I borrowed a term that I heard from Dr. Tony Evans, and he says you do not want to be a SMO Christian. SMO, S-M-O. And it is an acronym for Sunday morning only. The goal of the believer is to have sincere hearts that fully trust in God. Thirdly, as we hold on to our relationship to the Lord, we should also motivate others. You can be somebody else's cheerleader. You can root somebody else on. I enjoy NFL football. It's one of the things that's interesting. And it was an interception late in the Ravens game last night. And matter of fact, the Saints could have been driving for a score, but the defensive back intercepts the ball. Once he intercepts the ball, a number of his teammates join him in the celebration. And one of the things they're doing now in NFL football, they make an interception and they run to the camera. They pose. They did different positions. They get ready for a moment to capture. We just made a great play. The other players did not make the interception, but they all celebrate what one did. The sense is we are rooting one another on. Let me use an example. Only probably an old school basketball person would appreciate this one, but I'm going to throw it out. I'll paint the picture for everybody who looks at this name as obscure. The Boston Celtics were winning championships, and they had a player who, at this time, was beyond past his prime. And he was on the bench. His name was M.L. Carr. I told you only the old school, old school hoopers would know this one. And M.L. Carr would be on the bench, but he was the biggest cheerleader on the bench. Okay. Now, I'm going to work your media team. I got to work you. Amen. All right. So M.L. Carr would be on the bench. And my towel is really not big enough. But Carr would see him. Bird and McHale would be out playing, but Carr would be on the bench. The biggest cheerleader. See, one of the things is that if you can learn to cheer others on, I wish I had a witness here. And some folks will wonder, Why is nobody cheering for me? Who do you cheer for? Does God look at you as flat? Because you don't cheer for anybody, you ought to be cheering for God. Matter of fact, this building ought to just explode. When you think about what God is doing in your life, there ought to be the greatest praise you could ever get out. When you think of what God does for us, as we hold on to our relationship to the Lord, we should also motivate others. I can motivate others because I'm motivated. One of the things that any employer or managerial person is you love people who are self-motivated. They don't need much. They already. But the great thing is that regardless of where your motivation comes from, be willing to motivate others. Matter of fact, any person who ever gets to any point of success in your life is going to point to someone who motivated them. Somebody motivated you. Somebody did. And they have different ways of motivation. Different ways. I did not go through my college career. I had a little break. I came home. And I came home to get some motivation. So that when I went back to college, I went back I had a new attitude. I mean, it was one morning. I thought I was having a good time, Tony. My mother came down and she was working nights. And she came down and I was watching Wheel of Fortune. And she slapped me in the back of my head. Out of nowhere. Bam. She just kept walking. She had no comment. My father came by me another day and he told me, and this was Ron, this is what really did it for me. He said to me, he said, which branch of the service do you want to consider? He said, I did Air Force. You know, Air Force, Navy, Army, which branch? And I must say that helped George motivate me. Amen. And I'm not knocking anybody who went that route. But that helped to get me out of that lounge chair and pull me out of the doldrums of watching my Wheel of Fortune. Motivated. Let's go back. Let's unpack it. We're not going to hold you long. Number one, Jesus can open up something new in your life. Somebody needs something new. Now, I am a person that if you put the word new on any product, you got me. I mean, new packaging, it's new and improved. Matter of fact, I have a new and improved mask today. I'm wearing my new and improved mask. You can ask me about it later. New and improved. You say new, I got to try it. I want to see how does new work? Is new really better? I want to know. See, some of y'all, you like that, didn't you? You want to see, I got to find out what kind of mask is that? It's new. Jesus can open up something new in your life. Some of us, you tired of old. You tired of the same old, same old. Jesus can open up something new. I'm talking to an audience in here. You know it. You already know it. I'm not trying to convince you that Jesus can open up something new. But I am trying to inspire you so you can be inspirational to somebody else. I want you to have a reflective moment to think about when you came to Christ and when that newness was opened up and you got the new energy, new spirit, pep in your step, bounce. I went to school, went to high school, some guys, they all ran track, and they used to walk around, they had a bounce to them. You need a bounce in your life. Jesus can bring some bounce. Here it is. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, 20. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Now, of course, there's a much deeper theological understanding. It's coming in through the Holy of Holies. It is coming into that sacred space that the priest could only enter one time out of a year. But Jesus comes in the New Testament, and as Jesus comes, he allows us access to God. And so I don't have to not wait for the priest to enter. I do not have to wait for confession. I can enter into relationship and conversation with God on my own. And I can come Dr. Fontenot boldly.
I got sin. I can still come boldly.
I messed up. I can still come boldly. I've been knocked down. I can still come boldly.
Because I'm coming because I've been sprinkled. The blood of Jesus,
his death, has now opened up a new life-giving way. I've entered through the curtain
into this most holy place. They say that this, the entering into the presence of God, that holy place,
that's the blessing of some of you who said, I could watch online, but I want to come.
I want to enter that place. That holy place. I want to be in the presence of God. And this scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 gives all the reasons why that needs to be done. Someone said, I can worship online, but it's just something about being in the presence.
And I'm not knocking anybody because we got folk worshiping with us all over the country. We got Oklahoma, Los Angeles, Vegas. I mean, Our spread is so many places. And even as we come into this cyber presence, what a blessing that is.
His death opened up a new life-giving way through the curtain.
You were in a cloudy, dark place, but God brought you through. Somebody can celebrate this morning that not only has he brought you through, but he's still bringing you through.
The second point that I'm making, the goal of the believer is to have sincere hearts that fully trust in God. We want to have sincere hearts. Sincere. Now, I can't see your heart. I don't know what your heart says. I don't know.
Every one of us, Sister Gatlin, will have to answer to God for our heart.
But the goal is to be sincere. And it doesn't matter what people think, it's what God knows. Some folk, they make mistakes, what we all do.
And some folk are sincere,
but they sincerely wrong.
You got to make sure that your sincerity is also lined up to the word of God. Folk talking about God this, God that, quote a scripture, refer to a Bible verse. Don't just come up with all these things about what I think. No, it's not what we think, it's what God knows.
And again, you know the thing I'm driving us, that more of us would carry our Bibles. Sincere hearts, fully trusting in God.
Hebrews chapter 10, 21 and 22 ends up saying, and since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God
with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water.
Many of us got up this morning and we washed. We came out feeling fresh, clean.
Come on, somebody. And put a little deodorant on, too. And sprinkle some, spray a little something on you. Fresh.
Our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood.
person said, I've done wrong. But Wallace, I've fallen down. I feel guilty. But God can deal with your guilt, your hurt, your disappointment. For our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood. And the blood still works. There's some products, they don't work. You see some products and you bought them. You gotten them home. And it don't work. You got products that say that you can lose weight, don't have to exercise. Take this, you're gonna be good. You tried it. Didn't work. Some of us have tried hair products. I was at a store the other day. Guy was checking me out. His afro, like out here. I said, do you have any secrets? Is there anything you would like to share?
We can try different things, but there are other, these products will not work. Well, here's a product.
Ooh.
Here's a product. The blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing
but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? Nothing.
That's the great benefit of some of the great hymns and some of these other songs. And they're nice. They're cute. But something about being able to talk about the blood.
Something about the blood. Shed blood for us.
And once I get it, I refuse to lose my grip. I refuse to go back to being lost.
I refuse to live, as Ralph Douglas Webb says, beneath the blessing line.
I refuse to lose my grip. Not to say that you haven't been shaken.
Not to say that you have not been challenged. Bridget, I look at you and look at the health challenges you went through several years ago. People look at you now, have no idea.
You refuse to lose your grip. You're going down a duke. But God is able to bring us through.
I refuse to give up. I refuse to give out.
And I'm going to give God the best praise I have. I refuse to lose my grip.
That's why we come to worship, because this helps us to keep grip.
It helps us to keep grip. I was in a prayer. This is when you used to hold hands before we would come out and into services, and I'd go on to preach for a particular church, and we would gather and hold hands. I'm not holding hands with people right now through there. I mean, don't judge me. And if I do, I will find, I have sanitizer, all of my bags and all of the, I mean, so I'm going to get, but anyway, I was going, Reverend Taylor, I was going to go out and preach, and we were in the back holding hands, praying, going to pray for the service. And I had a ring on, and I was holding a hand with a gentleman who had an extremely hard grip. And he was praying that God would use our guests. And every time he would say something, he would squeeze harder. By the time he finished that prayer, tears were coming out of my eyes. It had nothing to do with joy either. It was, he says, use him.
And every time, and he was squeezing my ring finger. And then finally said, he got to the part that said, amen. I said, amen. I want him to loosen up, Lottie.
I preached that day too. I want you to know. I came out of there like I was one of the horses at the Kentucky Derby. They let the gate up. I mean, that's the way I came. I came running into the pulpit. They said, never seen somebody come in there with so much energy. I said, you don't know that brother was holding me so hard. I refuse to lose my grip. Satan's got a grip on some of you. And you gotta let him know I'm getting loose. You're not holding me. You're not going to cloud my present. You're not going to get in the way of my future. I'm going to rebuke you. You are not going to hold me. Let me go. Let me go. Hold my coat. Take my earrings. Some of y'all, again, I know this is 7:30. Y'all don't act like that anymore. But you remember when you got ready, No. You know how we used to do Reggie. You know how they go back and forth and they run out of stuff. And you knew the trump card. You know where to go. Your mama. That's it. No, we ain't having that. Satan is trying to grip you too. And you don't want it to be that he refuses. You got to refuse to keep letting him hold you. How am I going to loosen the grip of Satan? I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God for what he's done. I'm going to praise God for what he's doing. And I'm going to praise him for what he's going to do. The last third thing is, and we're getting out of here. As we hold on to our relationship to the Lord, we should also motivate others. Be a motivator. Have a Barnabas spirit. Motivate somebody else. Inspire somebody else. Many of us, and I said it before, there are people who we have watched who have inspired us. We didn't even know them personally, but they inspired us. Matter of fact, they might not even live during our era. One of the things I love reading are biographies. And I love our autobiographies. I love reading the stories and the journeys of people. Because they're inspirational. I love hearing the backstory. We come off the recent Olympics, and many times as they would come into different events, they would give you the backstory of the athletes. And then you would learn things that you would not have known. And sometimes you'll have this. It might happen in a museum. It might happen, and you say, I need my grandchild to hear this. I need my child to hear this. It's inspirational. And sometimes, even now, we need to be inspired. Church ought to inspire somebody. I ought to be able to leave worship inspired to do more, go further. As we hold on to our relationship to the Lord, we should also motivate others. I've been fired up. Now I'm going to try to fire somebody else up. That's what happened to me when I was spending those days in prayer in Colombia this week. I can't get up from my knees and not be fired up to help somebody else get fired up. We need to be inspired. There are a couple of scriptures and I'm through. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. I hold on tightly to something that will satisfy. I'm holding on tightly to it. And I'm not going to be shaky. You can meet a whole lot of shaky folk. You know shaky folk. When you talk to them, they can't look you in the face. They looking all around. You know, come on, I'm here. Without wavering. That 24th verse, Hebrews chapter 10, 24, it says, and 25, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That was pouring over me as I was in the shower this morning. How was I going to come into worship and motivate somebody so that my worship does not end at benediction? So that after benediction, whatever you do, wherever you go, somebody will know you've been with Jesus. When they looked at the disciples, they said, what is the distinguishing factor? The distinguishing factor, they had been with Jesus. That's why scripture says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. Some people thought, oh, I don't go to church anymore. I don't like the church. Church is not perfect. Where is perfection? When you talk about hypocrites in the church, hypocrites at the bank, hypocrites at the supermarket, hypocrites at the mall. One of my early jobs was I worked undercover. I can say that now. I'm a whole lot of years from doing it. But I worked undercover because the biggest theft in stores is employee theft. And so I got a job working undercover. They paid me good money too, Lottie. And I didn't realize why they were paying me such good money until I got the job. Because after I got it, I realized my life was on the line. Because folk were stealing. And I came in, and they had me on the executive. That's what they told them, Bernstein. I was on the executive course. And I was, like, advancing very quickly. And they were like, why is he moving? He, like, just got here. He's moving up fast. And I remember one night, and they had somebody had planned to call somebody, said, come meet me at the back door. We're going to make sure that we're going to have the product there, get it on out. You know, y'all think that stuff is just in the TV shows. No, it's real. And so, and they had to pick up and everything, and all of them got arrested. They said, who knew? They said, I'm like, what? They did, what? Are you serious? Yeah, man. We all going downtown. You really? And then they moved me to another store. I said, I don't want those guys finding me. Y'all going to move me to another store? Yeah, we're going to move me to another store. I said, those guys find me. I said, it's over. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the Lord of his return is drawing near. God is coming back. And when he comes back, you want to be ready. That's my word for you. Have a great day. Enjoy the blessing that God is going to shower in your life, but refuse to lose your grip. Hold on. I said, hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's a bright and morning star. He can love you in spite of you. Look past your faults and see your needs. I'm refusing to lose my grip. I will bless the Lord. I will lift up my hands. I will praise his name. Do I have a witness out there? Early in the morning, East Coast, West Coast, North, South, but I don't mind
praising his name. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Because every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Yes, yes, yes. I'm refusing to lose my grip.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park.
I'm working on.